Blog Talk Radio.
To the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. All right. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport that he or she loves the most. We talk about a lot of NFL topics because this is a football talk show, but we cover basketball, we cover hockey, we cover baseball, NCAA men's and women's basketball, Spring football, XFL, USFL. We cover horse racing, dog racing, mud wrestling, pie eating contests, bare knuckle boxing, UFC boxing, whatever's considered a sport that comes across your monitor, we'll talk about it. If we don't know about it, you can teach us about it. If you don't know what we're talking about, we can teach you about it. We are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST. Time on deck is 8:04 a.m. It is 51 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. So we're definitely not complaining on that level. Our topic for today is NBA trade deadline episode 2. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sports they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include but not limited to NBA trade deadline and predictions. LeBron James is the new scoring king. Scores and results from NBA, NHL, NCAA, and breaking news from NFL and Major League Baseball. All right, let's get off into it. NBA trade deadline episode 2. If you'd like to call in and talk about trade deadline predictions and outcomes based for your favorite NBA team, or trades that affect your favorite NBA team, call in area code 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687, and then just put your hand up in queue, and we'll kindly come to you, and just announce your first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from. Again, first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from. We like to keep everything discreet on the show, just in case you're supposed to be working or fulfilling tasks on your honey-do list. We don't want you to get caught kicking it with the late night dog on the Stove of the Beer radio show and then get yourself in trouble or get fired. So anyway, with that being said, last night we had some great things happen last night. Last night we had LeBron James broke the all-time scoring record, which was in place for 34 years, held by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, former Laker Hall of Famer, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Some of you might know him from back in the day as Lou Alcindor. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar held the scoring record as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, retired Hall of Famer. He also played for the Milwaukee Bucks back in the day, and I believe he won the championship with Oscar Robertson. But the captain's score was broken last night, which the captain had the title for 34 years. LeBron James did it. They're saying asking across the monitor, does all-time scoring title make LeBron the GOAT? They're trying to find out, does all-time scoring title make LeBron James the GOAT? I wouldn't say it makes him the GOAT, but it puts him right there, right next to LeBron James, being the all-time scoring leader. He made history last night, people. I witnessed it. I saw it. I saw the game. LeBron James went out there, and I just done the math and said, if he could put up 8 points a quarter, when I started really counting the numbers as it was going down on the monitor. Every time he made a bucket, I said, from that point, I said, if he could put up about 8 points a quarter, I think it was saying he needed 32 points. He came in, he needed 36, if I'm correct. But then I kind of started counting down at 32. I said, if he could, from this point on, can put up 8 points a quarter, he got it. And he just started chipping away. And what I noticed was that next thing I look up, they was talking about 8 points. I say he only got 8 more points to go, and it was like midway third quarter. I say it's happening tonight, people. I say it is happening. I just start saying it's happening. So with that being said, you know, I'm just really happy for LeBron James, but they're asking across the monitor again, does the all-time scoring title make LeBron James the GOAT? Me, myself, I say it's just depending on how you look at it, really. My GOAT is bottom line Michael Jordan. That's my goal. And don't get me wrong, people, I hated watching Michael Jordan. I didn't say I hated Jordan, but I hated watching Jordan because he was torching people so bad once they finally getting past Detroit in the playoffs. He was torching people so bad. And then when he came up on my Portland Trail Blazers, he torched them too. And I was a Clyde Drexler guy. They had the debate Jordan versus Drexler. I wasn't a Jordan guy. I was a Clyde Drexler guy. I was all about Clyde the Glide. So all I'm saying is that he torched my Portland Trail Blazers. He torched them. He got them out of there. So, I mean, and it kind of upset me. I'm not going to lie to you. It upset me that he got them out of there. But one thing about it, once Chicago's with Michael Jordan started winning chips, they were unstoppable. And Michael Jordan was an unstoppable force. All I'm saying is this. When you come and start talking about GOAT, the GOAT, greatest of all time, GOAT, greatest of all time, all I'm saying is that in my era, and I'm pre-50, I'm pre-50, I'll be 50, you know, in a little bit. But that era of basketball, Michael Jordan is our GOAT. If you ask these kids today that's watching the game, they don't remember much about Michael Jordan. They don't remember much about Michael Jordan. Just like I came in on the tail end, I started watching basketball on the tail end of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's career. I knew about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I knew about the Skyhook, but I came in on the tail end of his career. When you come in on the tail end of somebody's career, you may not appreciate everything they've done for the game. Going before that, we're talking about who? Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain. You know, it's just depending on what, it depends on what era that you grew up in. Because people could argue and say Bill Russell, with I believe 10 or 11 titles, is the greatest of all time. I mean, if you want to start counting chips, and he got all his chips with one team, just like Michael Jordan got all his chips with one team. LeBron James didn't get all his chips with one team. He came in and created the big three. He came in and created the I won't say he created the big three era, but he came in the big three era where you had like the Boston Celtics, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, the big three who took down Kobe Bryant and Paul Gasol, if I'm correct, in the NBA Finals. LeBron James came in around this big three era. And so he got smart and started saying, you know what? The way to win championships today is stars play with stars, okay? Stars play with stars. LeBron James got smart. He said, I can't win by myself in Cleveland. I can't do it. Now, this is what starts the debate. Michael Jordan never said, I couldn't do it with the team that I was on. Michael Jordan was the guy that constructed a team around Michael Jordan. They made the trades. They done the drafts. They got the people that he needed around him to build a championship program. LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't necessarily think that they did that in Cleveland. They drafted LeBron James, but they never really got the help around him to win a championship. However, LeBron James did take the Cleveland Cavaliers in his when he first came into the league, after a couple of years, he wound up taking the Cleveland Cavaliers to the NBA Finals. But if I remember correct, he lost to the Orlando Magic. They lost to the Orlando Magic. And I think that might have been the Orlando Magic when when Dwight Howard was playing with them, Dwight Howard, and then can't think of the other young man's name, but I think he's well known too. Power forward. I can't think of his name right now, but I think there was the Dwight Howard led Orlando Magic. They beat Cleveland in the finals. There was a game that LeBron James, the series that I'm talking about, is when LeBron James finally got to a finals and he walked away and he didn't want to talk to the press. Now, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong too. It might not even been the finals. It might have been an Eastern Conference Finals. I know LeBron James took him to an Eastern Conference Finals and he lost to the Orlando Magic, who was also in the East. So I'm saying it wrong. It was an Eastern Conference Finals, not an NBA Finals. So that team constructed around LeBron James at that time wasn't a championship team, but it was good enough to get to a conference finals. LeBron James finally woke up and said, I can't win with this team. I can't win with this. Stars need to play with stars. That's the formula. That's how the Boston Celtics, that's how they did it. With Allen, with Pierce, with Allen Pierce and the big ticket, Garnett. That's how they did it. And they had a supporting cast. So all I'm saying is that when you start to talk about GOAT status, this is where the controversy comes in, that LeBron James had to leave one team, go to another team, and join forces with someone else to do it. See, the GOAT status gets affected by the blueprint. The blueprint started to change in the 2000s. Go play with stars, going to play with stars. That, you know, and I believe Boston was the first one that started doing that. Stars going to play with stars. Three, you have to have three, not two. Like the Lakers had Paul Gasol, Kobe Bryant. Okay, that was a big two. But we're talking about you needed the big three around about the time of, let's say, 2007, 2008, the big three era started to come in. 07, 08, 09 time frame, they started, you know, people started implementing the big three. LeBron James, he only did what the market told him to do. Stars play with stars today. He went and joined forces in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and the supporting cast. That's the big three. The big three now. He did what he had to do. The first year, they went to the finals. They did not win. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks, if I'm correct. I know I'm taking you down memory lane a little bit, but this is right about 2010, 2011-ish. When he went to Miami, that first year he went to Miami, they did. Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James did not win a title that first year. Compare that to Michael Jordan. When he went to his first finals, he won on the same team he had been on, losing in the playoffs with. He finally took them to a chip. When they went to their first chip, he won it. He didn't lose it. Second chip, Michael Jordan, same thing. He won it. He didn't lose it. Every time it's repetitive that he won with the same team. Michael Jordan won with the same team every time. Six chips. And this is including he retired to go play baseball for the Birmingham Barons, Triple A ball club, and if I'm correct, and then he came back to play basketball and won again, one or two more times, if I'm correct. I think he left with three, took a break about a year, came back and won three more, if I'm correct, because they had a total of six. Michael Jordan didn't have a big three. It was just Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, a big two, okay? We talking about this today. He came out the era of the big two. LeBron James came into the era that transitioned into the big three. LeBron James got the memo. I need to have other stars around me to win in today's game. He went to Miami. First crack, they lost. Second crack, I believe they won. Third crack, they might have lost because they lost to San Antonio, I know, at least one time. And, you know, LeBron James has been to about seven championships, and I think he's got, three rings. And then you start talking about Golden State when they ran up on Golden State when he went back to Cleveland. When they ran up on Golden State, Steph Curry changed the game. He just said, the heck with your big three. I mean, it was still a big three because it was Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. So they were a big three as well. But there was a big three that changed the whole game. They a big three and added the three-point shot as their major weapon. LeBron James could not keep up with that. The first time they played against Golden State, they lost because they couldn't keep up with the three-point shooting. They couldn't do it. So all I'm saying is that LeBron James, and I like LeBron, don't get me wrong, he's a great guy on and off the court, never been in any trouble. But when you're talking about basketball GOAT status, I got Michael Jordan from my era as my GOAT, and maybe I'm being biased because he's from my era, but I'm looking at the numbers that I just put out there too, the way they won the championships, wins and losses in championships, and how they did it. Then you look at LeBron James, his career, you know, wins and losses and chips with Michael Jordan was just wins with the same team. LeBron James moving around, getting with big threes as he moved forward because he got the memo. That's how you win, but he didn't win all the time, even with that big three format. Because in Cleveland, his big three was himself, Love, and Kyrie. That was their big three. They didn't win the first time. They got Golden State the second time, if I'm correct, with that same big three. And then that's when Kyrie Irving left after they finally got that chip. He took off and wanted to do his own thing. Speaking of Kyrie Irving, we'll get off into him in a little bit. All I'm saying is that when we're talking about GOAT status, Even though LeBron James, kudos to him, congratulations, King. He got the NBA scoring title. He broke the scoring title, scoring record. He broke it last night. That has stood up for 34 years. That's a hell of an accomplishment. Did Michael Jordan do that? No. No, he did not. But we have to understand it was a different game back then as well. You could hand check. You could be a little bit more physical. You know, Michael Jordan going to the hole would get punished. They had already set up the Jordan rules. If he comes in here and tries to score, he's getting put on his butt. Now, if Michael Jordan was playing in, if the rules were the same back then as they are now, I would say Michael Jordan could have probably scored as many points as LeBron James. You're talking about two men that takes it to the hole. Two men that can change the game at will. Two men that can do whatever they want to at any given time. That's all I'm saying, people. I'm going to get up into some NBA scores here real quick. Stand by, I'm going to get off into some NBA scores here real quick. All right. Last night in NBA action, we had the New York Knicks defeated the Orlando Magic 102-98. New York Knicks win 102-98 over the Orlando Magic. Julius Randle had 22 points and 14 rebounds, 6 assists for Julius Randle. Again, Julius Randle, 22 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. Fultz for the Magic had 21.6 assists. 21.6 assists. I don't know what Brunson's numbers was last. I don't know what Banchero's number were last night. I don't know what Banchero or Brunson did last night because I don't have it in my game notes. But the top scorer for the Knicks was Julius Randle, 22 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. And I believe Julius Randle is going to get a nod for the All-Star for the All-Star game. The Phoenix Suns defeated the Brooklyn Nets 116-112. Phoenix Suns 116-112. And Ayton, 15 rebounds for the Suns. He had a good game last night. And Cam Thomas, 43 points. This Thomas guy is interesting. These are the notes for that game. I saw that game last night. This Thomas guy is very interesting. And I can see why the front office, Joe Tsai, did not want to extend Kyrie Irving's long-term contract because this guy Thomas is younger, and they're saying he can easily put up about 40 points a game. He's a younger version of what Kyrie is. Younger, and, you know, he got more upside, and he can still put up 40-some points. So, really, Kevin Durant, is not really missing anything by Kyrie Irving leaving besides the experience in the finals. But KD got plenty of experience in the finals. So let's look at this. Cam Thomas makes NBA history with third straight 40-point game. Are you crying? If you decide, why are you crying about Kyrie Irving? When this young man, now he can get the ball, get his opportunity more, he just put up his third straight 40-point game. Come on, people. Joe Tsai ain't thinking about Kyrie Irving. Let him go to Dallas. The New Orleans Pelicans won last night. Kudos to my New Orleans Pelicans. Everybody that listens to the show know that I love all things Louisiana and all things San Diego currently and formerly. The Pelicans defeat the Hawks 116-107. Pelicans defeat the Hawks 116-107. Brandon Ingram had 30 points, 8 assists in that game. It's good to see Brandon Ingram getting back to form. 30 points, 8 assists. Not taking anything away from C.J. McCollum, but, you know, we needed Brandon Ingram because we have a big three, too. Our big three is Ingram, McCollum, and Zion Williamson. That's our big three. And we got a lot of support players like Alvarado, Jones. We got our support players, too. So, I mean, our big three is Brandon Ingram, McCollum, and Williamson. And they have to be at top form after the All-Star break to make a good push for the playoffs. I'm not saying that we're going to make it to the Western Conference Finals or anything like that, but I just want to see us compete at the highest level with our big three. In other NBA news, the Memphis Grizzlies won against the Chicago Bulls. Memphis Grizzlies 104, Chicago Bulls, 89. John Morant had 34.6 rebounds, 7 assists. Again, John Morant had 34.6 rebounds, 7 assists. As the Grizzlies defeat the Chicago Bulls, 104-89. In other NBA action, the Denver Nuggets defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Denver Nuggets, 146. Minnesota Timberwolves, 112. That was a blowout. The Nuggets, 146 over the Timberwolves, 112. Jokic, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 16 assists. Again, Jokic, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 16 assists. That guy's a problem. And they got Jamal Murray playing good ball, too. And lastly, we have the big game. LeBron James passes Kareem to become NBA's all-time leading scorer. Again, LeBron James passes Kareem to become NBA's all-time leading scorer. Lakers lost to the Oklahoma Thunder, though, it was a losing effort, but LeBron James did pass Kareem to become NBA's all-time leading scorer in a losing effort to the Oklahoma Thunder. The Oklahoma Thunder, 133, Lakers, 130. The Oklahoma City Thunder cast a little shadow over LeBron James' big night by defeating the Lakers, 133-130. SGA had 30 points, 8 assists. SGA, again, 30 points, 8 assists. He's having a good season, and I believe he's already an all-star. If he's not, he's more than likely going to be voted as an all-star. There's Gilgeous Alexander, SGA. And LeBron James for the Los Angeles Lakers, again, passes Kareem to become NBA's all-time leading scorer with 38 points last night, 7 rebounds, 3 steals. 38 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals last night for LeBron James. Those were his numbers again. 38 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals. LeBron passes Kareem to become NBA's all-time leading scorer. And that was our NBA scores for yesterday. Let's see who's playing tonight. See, we got some games on tonight. All right. We're going to have tonight the Pistons and the Cavaliers. Pistons and the Cavaliers. Hornets and the Wizards. 76ers against the Celtics, Pacers against the Heat, Spurs against the Raptors, Kings against the Rockets, Timberwolves against the Jazz, Mavericks against the Clippers, that's going to be a good one, Warriors against the Trailblazers. Again, Trailblazers against the Warriors, Clippers against the Mavericks, Jazz against the Timberwolves, Rockets against the Kings, Raptors against the Spurs, Heat against the Pacers, Celtics against the 76ers, that's going to be a good one, Wizards against the Hornets, Cavaliers against the Pistons. All right, and that's all going to be taking place starting at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, all the way up to 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. You can check your local listings for the actual game time and actual networks that they'll be playing on. All right. Let's get back into it, though. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers NBA Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers NBA Radio Show. Our topic for today is NBA Trade Deadline Episode 2. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sports they love in front of a live global listening audience. That means you. Topics to include but not limited to are NBA trade deadline and predictions. LeBron James is the new scoring king. We talked about that. Scores and results from NBA, NHL, NCAA, and breaking news from NFL and Major League Baseball. So we already got all our NHL scores out and everything like that. They got across the monitor right now again. LeBron breaks Kareem's all-time scoring record with they were showing him on TV with one of the media experts, one of our well-known media experts, dapping it up, hugging it up with one of our media experts. So it's official. LeBron James is the king. He is the king of the scoring of scoring in the National Basketball Association. Segueing over into the NFL, this weekend is Super Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, Patrick Mahomes against Jalen Hurts. It's all across the monitor. All the media experts are trying to figure out who's going to win this contest, Super Bowl 57. Everybody want to know who's going to win this contest against the Eagles. Will the Eagles soar against the Kansas City Chiefs? And will the Chiefs shoot down the Eagles? Everybody wants to know what's going to be the outcome of that one. Across the monitor, you know, if all the media experts are in Arizona right now. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them are in Arizona right now. I believe they're in Glendale. And what they're doing is they're trying to do those media day. They're talking to all the different guys that all the stars of the NFL that were stars, notable names this season, trying to get their predictions and things like that, trying to get some insider information on what's going to happen for their respective teams next year, all that good stuff. So it's a lot of stuff going on for media day up in for media day, and then just all you know how it is, the whole week of the NFL, this whole week of the NFL rather. They're going to be doing all these different shows and everything out there in Arizona, trying to lead into the Super Bowl 57 that's going to be coming on Saturday. I believe Saturday 3 o'clock p.m. But we'll pull that up later. But I don't have any breaking news for the NFL, and that's pretty much what I try to do right now because the NFL season is wrapping up. Breaking news in Major League Baseball, you know, no breaking news for Major League Baseball right now. Like I said, we just had our here in San Diego for Major League Baseball. We just did our fan fest. They say it was a good turnout. So the Padres, they're getting ready to gear up for everything. I was downtown not too long ago last week, and I saw the bright lights as Petco Park was lit up. They was getting ready for this week, last weekend's fan fest this past weekend. So it was a good turnout, the media experts say. So we'll see what happens. But I don't have any big news right now, no major trades or anything like that, or any information leading into spring training here in a couple months for baseball. Again, like I said yesterday for Major League Baseball, I'm excited that Tatis is going to be back for the Padres. You know, Tatis, and then I believe we was able to keep most of the other guys, I think, besides Josh Bell. I think we wound up letting Josh Bell go. I don't know if we traded him or he was a free agent. I don't know, but I don't think he will be joining us for the Padres 2023 season. So, you know, like I said, right now, NBA on my show is king right now. NBA is my show, is king on this show right now because we don't have a whole lot of other action going on in the NFL because the NFL is wrapping up again. We got Super Sunday coming up, NBA Super Bowl Sunday. It's time for everybody to get the bag of chicken wings out. You know, got to get your buffalo wings out. You know, all that good stuff. The potato chips. You know, your deli platters. Your cold beer. Your sodas. You know, all that good stuff. You know, your hoagies. It's time to get everything out to celebrate Super Bowl 57. The Super Bowl is basically a holiday for me. Wherever I reside, it's a holiday for me. So it's going to be an exciting day. Super Sunday coming up. Mahomes against Hurts. I'm excited to see who's going to win that one. I'm really excited to see who's going to take that one because these are two capable quarterbacks. Two capable quarterbacks. Two great college quarterbacks, and they have been two great pros up until this point. I'm gonna probably have to give the nod to Jalen Hurts just because of his style of play. He doesn't have to just throw the ball. He's so strong. He's a strong runner, and you're gonna have to keep account of him running. And at the same time, if you shut him down running, he can also go back to the pass. And I mean, it's like an even matchup. But I just think that Jalen Hurts being able to throw enough, but so powerful running, I think that's going to keep giving the Kansas City Chiefs defense a problem all night. The other thing is on the other side of the ball, you got Patrick Mahomes, who also is a guy that looks to throw first. Based on what the media experts are saying and based on what I've, you know, watched on TV, he looks to throw first because he can put that ball downfield at multiple angles. But he can also run. But how much running is he going to be able to do with that high ankle sprain that he's still dealing with? That high ankle sprain could be a problem. But at the same time, Jalen Hurts also has an injury. That shoulder is still, from what the media experts are saying, is not totally healed up. So it could creep, if they start hitting on that shoulder, pulling on that shoulder, you know, as they're trying to sack him while he's trying to pass or when he's trying to run the ball, keep hitting him on that shoulder when they tackle him, it could be problematic for Jalen Hurts as well. So you got one quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs that really can't run because of his high ankle sprain. Then you got one quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles that really can't throw as much as he would like to throw because of his shoulder. So all the Achilles heels are kind of, as they say, the Achilles heels are kind of even in this matchup for Super Sunday. So, you know, I'm excited to see how it's going to play out. One thing I can guarantee, I'm going to guarantee one thing to everybody. One team is going to win. That's what I'll guarantee for the Super Bowl. One team is going to win the Super Bowl. Now, what team that might be, I have no idea. I'm not going to even lie to you. I don't know what team is going to win. Let's segue off into some NHL scores. I'd like to show my NHL listeners some love. Looks like we'll fall off into tonight. We got tonight starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll have the Canucks and the Rangers. Canucks and the Rangers. And at 5:30 p.m. we'll have the Wild and the Stars. 5:30 p.m. we'll have the Wild and the Stars. That game will be on TNT. So at 5:30 on TNT, we'll have the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars going at it in NHL action tonight. And at 5 o'clock p.m. on ESPN Plus and in the NHL, I believe that's pay-per-view, NHL PP. I guess it's like the NHL ticket or whatever the case may be. The Canucks will be playing the Rangers. The Canucks will be playing the Rangers. You can catch that game on ESPN Plus at 5 o'clock p.m. And the NHL, looks like the NHL channel, if you subscribe to that and subscribe to ESPN Plus, it will have the 5 o'clock p.m. the Canucks and the Rangers, 5:30 p.m. on TNT, the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars are going at it. Let's see if we can pull up some scores from yesterday, if we had any NHL action yesterday. Ah, we did. Final overtime, Avalanche and the Penguins. The Penguins defeat the Avalanche 2-1 in overtime. The Penguins, Pittsburgh Penguins, defeat the Colorado Avalanche 2-1. So the Penguins take that one. Big ups to Pittsburgh. I always like the Penguins. Sharks and the Lightning. Sharks and the Lightning. Final overtime, Sharks 4, Lightning 3. Final overtime, Sharks 4 over the Lightning 3. San Jose takes that one over Tampa Bay. We have the Oilers 5, Red Wings 2 final. Oilers 5, Red Wings 2. Oilers take that one 5-2 over the Red Wings. Who else we got? We got the Seattle Kraken and the New York Islanders. The New York Islanders defeat the Seattle Kraken 4-0. Final. New York Islanders defeat the Seattle Kraken 4-0. New York Islanders win. And we have in a final score of 5-1, Golden Knights 5, Predators 1. Golden Knights defeat the Predators 5-1. Again, Golden Knights 5, Predators 1. Golden Knights takes that one 5-1 over the Predators. And final overtime, we have Anaheim Ducks 3, Chicago Blackhawks 2. Anaheim Ducks 3, Chicago Blackhawks 2. Anaheim Ducks win 3-2 over the Chicago Blackhawks. So that's our NHL scores for today. When we come back, we'll get off into some NCAA men's and men's scores, top 25 men's scores, and top 25 women's scores. We'll get off into that and talk about who's playing tonight. So we're going to take a quick music break, and we'll be back. This has been the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. You've been listening to Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stand by. We're going to do a quick music mix, and we'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Welcome back to the Stove and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stove and Beer Radio Show. And we're going to get off into some NCAA men's and women's basketball scores, NCAA men's and women's top 25 basketball scores, and see what's going on there. Tonight, we're going to get playing female and men's action. Creighton against Seton Hall. That's number 23 Creighton against unranked Seton Hall. Then we'll have also number 6 Tennessee against unranked Vanderbilt in NCAA men's basketball action. We'll have number 11 Iowa State against West Virginia. Number 11 Iowa State playing against unranked West Virginia. We'll have number 2 Houston taking on unranked Tulsa. Number 2 Houston taking on unranked Tulsa. We'll have number 20, Providence, taking on unranked Georgetown. Number 20, Providence, will be taking on unranked Georgetown in men's action. Also, we'll have number 3, Alabama, taking on Florida. Number 3, Alabama, they'll be taking on Florida in men's action. And we'll be having number 14, Baylor, against Oklahoma in men's action. This Big 12 rivalry, number 14 Baylor against Oklahoma in men's action. And then we'll have my number 25 San Diego State Aztecs taking on unranked Utah State. So my number 25 ranked San Diego State Aztecs, SC State Aztecs, will be taking on Utah State. So I'm gonna be tuning in for that one. That's gonna be coming on at 7 p.m. my time, 10 p.m. East Coast time. If you want to catch my number 25 ranked San Diego State Aztecs taking on Utah State, that's gonna be going on tonight. And let's see what the scores were for yesterday. We had some men's basketball going on yesterday. Had so much stuff going on with LeBron James becoming the king of the scoring title in the NBA. That's what everybody was kind of waiting on. But we did have some men's scores. We had number 8 Virginia defeated number 22 North Carolina State. Number 8 Virginia 63. Number 22 North Carolina State 50. Number 8 Virginia defeats North Carolina State 63-50 in men's top 25 action. Who else we have here? We had number 21 UConn defeated number 10 Marquette. Number 21 UConn defeated number 10 Marquette 87-72. UConn takes that one 87-72 over Marquette. Also in men's action, we had number 12 Kansas State defeated number 17 TCU. Number 12 Kansas State 82. Number 17 TCU 61. Kansas State defeat TCU 82-61. Then we had number 18, Indiana, defeated number 24, Rutgers. Again, number 18, Indiana, 66. Number 24, Rutgers, 60. Indiana wins that one over Rutgers, 66-60. And that was our NCAA men's action. Let's go into our NCAA women's action. We're going to check our NCAA women's top 25 action for tonight, and then we'll go over the scores from yesterday. Let me get my sound right here. I don't need any sound bleeding through while I'm trying to give you the news in NCAA Women's Top 25 action. All right, tonight we're going to have number 13 ranked Ohio State against Minnesota tonight in NCAA Women's Top 25 action. Number 13 Ohio State against Minnesota tonight, and we'll have number 15 Villanova taking on Georgetown in women's action. Number 15, Villanova taking on Georgetown in women's action. Looks like the Georgetown girls are one game above 500. The men are atrocious. We also will have number 4, UConn taking on Marquette in women's action. Number 4, UConn taking on Marquette in women's action. And also in women's top 25 action, we'll have number 20, Texas taking on Texas Tech. Number 20, Texas taking on Texas Tech in women's action. So that's what we got going on tonight. But let's check our scores. If we had anything yesterday, like I said, with King James breaking the, was preparing to break the scoring title last night, the scoring record last night, which he did. A lot of these college games probably got looked over, unless you're just an avid college basketball fan. But anyway, last night in women's top 25 action, we had number 16, Oklahoma, defeated unranked Baylor 98-92. Number 16, Oklahoma defeated unranked Baylor 98-92. So Oklahoma over Baylor 98-92. So that's all our scores that we have for today in NCAA men's and women's action. And we went over our NHL scores and schedule for today. We already done that. We went over our NBA scores and schedules for today. And let's go off into NBA. We want to get the schedule for the NFL. Let's get the schedule for the NFL again. We know it's this Sunday, February 12th, is Super Bowl Sunday. Super Sunday is going to be this Sunday, February the 12th, where the Kansas City Chiefs will be taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. That'll be coming on 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it'll be coming on 6:30 p.m. East Coast Time. So the Super Bowl will be aired on Fox, that's the network, and it'll be the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. That'll be 6:30 p.m. East Coast Time, and that'll be airing on Fox. That'll be Super Bowl 57. So right now in the NFL, in the NFL, you know, they got media day going on. Everybody doing all that for media, you know, out at media day, all the TV experts and everything like that are media experts. They're out there interviewing different participants in the Super Bowl, different athletes just talking to athletes about their prediction, you know, different players talking about the prediction of the Super Bowl and everything like that going into Sunday. And, you know, it's just a lot of media coverage for the NFL right now. Nothing really, I don't have any breaking news, you know, but they're asking across the monitor who has the most on the line for Super Bowl 57, the Chiefs or the Eagles. So, again, Sunday, 6:30 Eastern, who has the most on the line, the Eagles or the Chiefs? I don't really know why they're looking at it like who has the most on the line. It's just more so, you know, who's going to want it the most. Sorry about that audio. I was raising my volume up. But anyway, a lot of this just comes down to who wants it the most, if you ask me. It's not so much about who has the most on the line, just about who's going to want it the most. That's what it's going to come down to. Who wants this game? Who wants Super Bowl 57 the most? Who wants to be top dog in football this year? I got to kind of even, like I was saying earlier, Patrick Mahomes, he has the ability to throw that ball at any angle. Whether he throws it straight down the field, whether he sidearms it, whether he dumps the ball over the top. He can score. Him and Kelce can score at any angle. Kelce and Mahomes, that's a heck of a duo. Then you got Brown and Hurts. That's a heck of a duo. And also you got Smith and Hurts. That's a heck of a duo. I mean, these teams are really evenly matched. I mean, I got it evenly matched. I don't know about everybody else, but I got this thing evenly matched, to be honest with you. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going to go off into another quick break here, get off into some music mix. Time on deck is 8:57 a.m. It is 58 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. And we're going to go off into a quick music mix. You've been listening to Stogies and Beer Radio Show with your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And again, our topic for today has been NBA trade deadline, episode 2. If you'd like to call in to the show, call in, raise your hand in queue. And the telephone number to call in is 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687. Calling into the radio, so put your hand up in queue. When I come to you, announce your first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling in from. Keep everything discreet. And you can banter about and boast about the sport you love the most. If you want to talk about our topic today, again, NBA trade deadline episode 2 and how it affects your team, you can do that. Or if you want to talk about anything else that's considered a sport across the monitor, whether it's wrestling, boxing, bare-knuckle boxing, UFC, mud wrestling, horse racing, dog racing, cattle racing, pie-eating contest, handball, hot dog-eating contest, whatever you want to talk about on the show that's considered a sport on the monitor, you can talk about it. If we don't know about it, you can kindly teach us about it. If you don't know about what we're talking about, we can kindly teach you about it. So with that being said, again, we're going to go off into a quick music mix, and we'll be right back. Stand by. Stokely and Beer Radio. So I'm your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokely and Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, our topic for today is NBA Trade Deadline Episode 2. Feel free to call in if you'd like to talk about how the current trades affect your team, how future trades may affect your team. So we'd like to get people to call in to talk about how the NBA trade deadline, which is coming up on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, the trade deadline on Thursday, February the 9th. We want to talk about how these current trades are going to affect your teams moving forward. Going into the All-Star break and moving past the All-Star break, how is your team being affected by these trades that have already been made and possible trades that could be happening soon? I was talking earlier about the Kyrie Irving situation being traded to the Dallas Mavericks. And I said, you know, Josiah in the front office, Sean Marks, Josiah, all that front office group, ownership and general manager situation, I don't think they're really, worried about Kyrie Irving leaving, going to Dallas, getting traded to Dallas. Like I said yesterday, Josiah sold him down south. And then he can make his way to the West Coast from down south. They didn't send him straight to L.A., but he can make it. Kyrie Irving can make his way from L.A. After the season is over with, make his way from Dallas to L.A. after the season is over with. Josiah is not, in my opinion, is not worried about Kyrie leaving and not regretting that he didn't give him a long-term contract. And the reason why, yesterday we talked about the reason why he shouldn't be worried about it is because Kyrie didn't fulfill what they brought him there to do. Moving on from that, they got Cam Thomas, the young man that scored. Yeah, I found out he was from LSU, if I'm correct. Call into the show to correct me if I'm wrong. 515-602-9687, you can call into the show and correct me if I'm wrong. But Cam Thomas, last night he put up 43 points, third straight game with 40-something points. So that's letting me know that in the absence of Kyrie, there's your younger and just as efficient score. There he is. They've given him the ball now. Now him, Kevin Durant, and who's that? Claxton. Kevin Durant, Claxton, Ben Simmons, and Cam Thomas, they can hold fourth place down. Going into the All-Star break and moving past the All-Star break, going into postseason, they can hold that fourth spot down. If not, get to the third spot, because even though they lost last night, they lost the game last night. That young man putting up 43 points a game, right along with Kevin Durant, and right along with Ben Simmons and Claxton on defense, they can hold it down. And then they got the supporting cast with Seth Curry, and then the other gentleman that was with the San Antonio Spurs for a good amount of time, coming off the bench. I'll think of his name in a minute. But the Brooklyn Nets can hold down fourth place. I don't see any problem there. I was like, well, Kevin Durant will be calling for a trade, and you know, to be honest, that's still possible that Kevin Durant will be still wanting to get out of the situation. But I think Kevin Durant should stay put. I think he should stay put. And I don't think that Josiah needs to trade him. I would just let it play out to the offseason, because Kevin Durant has a younger score right next to him. Now, I don't know how these guys get along in the locker room or off the court, but all I'm saying is that this Cam Thomas young man, he He seems like the real deal. Across the monitor tonight, they're saying that the Kyrie Irving will have his debut tonight again with the Dallas Mavericks. Brooklyn traded Irving to Dallas for two players. They traded off Dinwiddie and Finney Smith, which I'm hearing from my number one sports contributor, DC out of Maryland, saying that Finney Smith and Dinwiddie are two good young players that got a lot of upside that are going to be joining Kevin Durant in Brooklyn right along with Cam Thomas. So I'm like, Brooklyn really doesn't have a problem. Now, Dallas, on the other hand, Dallas acquiring Kyrie Irving, they can definitely make it to the Western Conference Finals against the Denver Nuggets. That's who I got going, the Dallas Mavericks, Kyrie Irving, right along with Luka Doncic, and you going up against Jokic and Murray. I see those big two tandems, they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. In my opinion, you heard it here first. My opinion, the Denver Nuggets and the Dallas Mavericks will meet up face-to-face in the Western Conference Finals. I had raised a question yesterday to DC, my number one guest sports contributor. I raised the question. I said, do you think that with bringing Kyrie Irving to the DFW Metroplex, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, do you think that puts Mark Cuban as an owner right there along with Jerry Jones? I think Jerry Jones has currently three titles since he's had acquired the Dallas Cowboys, and these titles go back to the 90s. Hadn't won anything in the 2000s and in the 2010s, but he has three. Mark Cuban has one, and he'll possibly have two. I think that if Mark Cuban can pull off this tandem with Kyrie Irving along with Luka Doncic, I'm like this here. That could put Mark Cuban up there right with Jerry Jones, in my opinion. I mean, they're both about as rich as each other. Now, don't get me wrong, the Dallas Cowboys, that star is big. That logo, that brand is big in the United States. That logo is big in the United States, second only to the New York Yankees, which the New York Yankees logo and brand is big globally. It's big globally, believe it or not. Because baseball is played over in Japan and all these different leagues overseas. So that logo, I put it like this: it's a global logo. It's a logo that extends far beyond the United States. That brand, the New York Yankees, extends beyond the United States, where the Dallas Cowboys, as far as the United States go, is second to the New York Yankees. That brand is second. But I think if Mark Cuban brings another title to the DFW area, it's going to put him right there at a GOAT status in the DFW right there with Jerry Jones. I was asking, I was questioning the fact that, you know, does bringing Kyrie Irving to Dallas-Fort Worth, does this make up for Dak Prescott failing to get the Cowboys to the NFC Championship and on to the Super Bowl? I was asking a question to DC, my number one guest sports contributor yesterday. Does it make up for that? And I think he was kind of on the fence with it, kind of like yes and no. But I think that it at least calms the mood of people in Dallas, because, you know, the Super Bowl hasn't taken place yet, so they're still kind of salty about not being able to get there to the NFC Championship. And then on the way to the Super Bowl, people are still a little bit salty, if you know, in my opinion, because I used to live down there and I know how they love the Dallas Cowboys. The people, the fans in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, they love their Cowboys. And I mean, when I say they love them, they love them. You get on the bus, they're talking about them. Go to work, they talk about them. You go to church, they talk about them. You turn on the doggone church radio show, they talking about them. I'm serious. It's deep down there. They love their Cowboys. even the clergy. The clergy is like, let's get on up out here a little bit quicker so everybody can get home and watch the game. And they pray for the Cowboys. I'm not lying. I've heard it. They pray for the Cowboys on the church radio. So they pray for the Cowboys. I put it like, at least I know one station that doggone show did. There's one station out there I used to listen to. I can't think of the name of it. I used to listen to Pastor Freddie Haynes out there with Friendship West, but not them. I didn't hear them pray for the Cowboys, but there was another one. Pastor Ricky Rush, I think his name was Pastor Ricky Rush, and I forgot the name of the church out there. And I could be wrong, but if you are from the DFW, you can call in and correct me at 515-602-9687. But that pastor, I believe his name was Ricky Rush, they had a song called God Bless the Cowboys. And when I heard that and I was down, I was like, oh my God, these people out here love the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys have a large African-American following in the DFW Metroplex. Our African-American people love their Dallas Cowboys. So anyway, with that being said, I think that Kyrie Irving being acquired by the Dallas Mavericks and one such as Mark Cuban will calm the mood and calm the tone of everybody in the DFW Metroplex that are upset that the Cowboys did not move forward in the playoffs. We're 2-and-done. When they just won one more game, they won their second game. They would have put them in the NFC Championship against Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. But let's be honest. That was a winnable game for the Cowboys if they'd have made it to the NFC Championship. They could have won against the Philadelphia Eagles as well. But the thing about the Eagles is that when they faced the Cowboys and when the Cowboys faced the Eagles, vice versa, neither one of them had their starting quarterback in any contest. So we really don't know who would have won that game. We'll have to wait till that plays out next year if they don't move off Dak Prescott in the offseason. I'm pretty sure that the Eagles ain't moving off of Jalen Hurts. But the Cowboys could possibly move off of Dak Prescott in the offseason. They're saying that they're not. I don't think they should. You know, I think that Dak deserves another year or two, and then you can move on from that point. Because at that time, you've given them plenty of enough time to deliver a Super Bowl championship to the Dallas Cowboys, to the DFW Metroplex. But I think with the signing of Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks, I think one such Mark Cuban has pulled off calming the tone, calming the bitterness of the sports fan in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, especially if Kyrie Irving and one such Luka Doncic can pull off a championship run. I think that everything can work out. I think that it can all work out. Anyway, I'm going to jump off into some more music mix here. I think I pretty much covered a lot of my topics for today. Again, Super Bowl 57, Chiefs against the Eagles, Sunday, 6:30 Eastern. Mahomes, second highest fourth quarter QBR this season, including the playoffs, is a 77. So they got him at a QBR of a 77 for Patrick Mahomes. We'll see what Jalen Hurts will be. Chiefs allowed sacks at second lowest rate in the NFL. The Eagles, 70 sacks in the regular season, most in the NFL. So, yeah, Super Bowl 57, Chiefs against the Eagles, Sunday, 6:30 Eastern. So I'll definitely be tuning in for that one. But stand by. We're going to go off into another music break. I'm going to give me some coffee and try to navigate my way through the show because there's not a lot of topics to talk about besides the Kyrie Irving trade, KD and the Brooklyn Nets, and the LeBron James, king of the NBA right now, breaking the scoring record that stood for 34 years by the captain himself, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. LeBron James broke that record and had a touching moment at center court last night. All the media around him, the captain came out and handed him the torch by giving him the ball, saying, "You are the new king now." It was a touching moment for LeBron James, touching moment for the late night dog as well watching it. I didn't share the tear, but I was definitely touched by the way that Kareem Abdul came out there and congratulated LeBron James, because the media experts start playing it out that old Kareem don't like LeBron James, says he's not doing much for social activism and all this stuff, civil rights, something to that nature. You can call in to the show at 515-602-9687 to correct me again, 515-602-9687 to correct me. But I'm going to go off into some more music mix here, and then we'll get back and try to take the last 30 minutes of the show, talk about some spring football, XFL, USFL, free agency, and stuff like that. I'm going to try to do every Thursday, try to do a free agent athlete spotlight, trying to bring some guys onto the show that's getting ready to go into their spring season for football, trying to work their way from the IFL, CIFL, FCF, NAL, trying to work from those leagues to get up to XFL, USFL workout. I'm happy that we got the Arena Football League coming back, AFL, is coming back. Also, at the lower level, we got the American Arena League also coming back. They didn't play this past season, but they made a relaunch. They're saying they're coming back in 2024 as well. I guess under a new group, a new commissioner, a new ownership group for the AAL, and that's the American Arena League. You know, they're pretty much like the counterpart to the right below the NAL, National Arena League, where they pretty much just throw the ball downfield. They don't do a whole lot of running. So it's a passing league, just like the National Arena League, just like Arena Football League that's coming back in 2024. But the AAL at a lower level is coming back, and then they're kind of like the counterpart to the CIFL, Champions Indoor Football League. And I just say that, you know, they're right below the Champions Indoor Football League is right below the IFL. And American Arena League is right below the NAL, and that's due to the fact that I feel like they don't put as much marketing into their product. They don't put a lot of budget behind the marketing like the IFL is required to do and the NAL is required to do. So that's why I say it's right below. Competition is the same. It's just the exposure, the level of exposure. That's all I'm saying. IFL pretty much plays on YouTube, and the NAL plays on YouTube. Then the CIFL, they was on YouTube, but they moved down to an app. AAL didn't play last year, but when they were playing, they were on the YouTube. But you know, I'm just saying the budgets are different. The marketing budgets are different. In the CIFL and the AAL, their owners get away with a little bit more. But in the IFL, in the NAL, their owners are held to a little bit of higher standard, because most of those teams came from the original AFL, like the Jacksonville Sharks AFL team, Orlando Predators AFL team, Iowa Barnstormers AFL team, the Arizona Rattlers, there was an AFL team. I don't know if those teams are going to be going back up to that level, or if they're going to stay down in the NAL and the IFL. But we'll see. But I'm glad to have the Arena Football League coming back. I did put a lot of guys in AFL Arena 1. I like to call it Arena 1, the highest level of arena football, and the highest level of any indoor type of football play, because they paid more. I'd like to say that I put in a lot of guys in the three-day workouts. And you can go to my Twitter post, some of my latest Twitter posts. I was, you know, naming the guys that went up to Albany, to the Albany Empire, in their championship season. And I have video footage of their championship season where they won the whole thing back in 2019, 2020, somewhere up in there. They won the whole thing. I think it was a 2019-2020 season, where the Albany Empire won the last AFL championship before they went bankrupt. But now they're coming back in 2024. And they also have, historically, they have their first African-American commissioner heading up everything as they're coming back. So that's a great Black History note. This is Black History Month. The AFL has their first African-American football commissioner for the AFL. This Arena One is what I call it, the highest level of any indoor arena-style football. So I'm excited about them coming back, and hopefully I'll have the opportunity to build my relationships at that level. I'm believing God that that'll happen, and I'll be able to get a lot of my street free agents some opportunities to go up there and work out at that level and get film at that level. Again, on my Twitter post, I was putting out there all the guys that had went up to Albany that in their championship season and was actually able to do 3-day workouts with the eventual champion. And I just had some video footage of the championship game against Albany Empire and the Philadelphia Soul, and where the Albany Empire won the championship the last time. But I felt good about that because my guys were able to go up there and work out with the champs, seven athletes. Several guys got invited. Seven athletes actually went and stayed in camp for 2 to 3 days. And two of them were told that they were going to be coming back for camp, but the league, you know, folded. The league went bankrupt. But it happens in spring football. You know, a lot of times spring football leagues have a hard time staying around for whatever reason. But I think with the XFL and the ownership group with The Rock and his ex-wife, Danny Garcia, along with Redbird Capital bankrolling the situation, I think the XFL is going to stick around for a couple years this time. And the USFL, they done a good job coming back for their second season and adding some different host cities. They're going to be having a Memphis hub, I believe, a Michigan hub, a Memphis hub, an Ohio hub or something like that, the Birmingham hub. And so I think they're going to have 3 or 4 hubs themselves, host cities coming up this second season, and they'll be kicking off April the 15th, I believe. The XFL should be kicking off probably around about March 1st or somewhere up in there, because they're starting to cut down. They're starting to cut their rosters down to reach their 53-man roster limit. So a lot of exciting stuff, but I'll come back on air and finish out the last 30 minutes of the show talking about how I can help you as a graduate that played your, not as a graduate, but as an athlete that played their last football game this past season in college. I want to help you get the opportunities to move up as close to the NFL as you can through my Prove-It system. And when I come back, we'll talk about the Prove-It system and what I can do to help. And we'll talk about costs. We'll talk about methods of payment. And we'll talk about what I'm going to need from you in the last 30 minutes of the show. So anyway, I'll be back. I'm going to take a quick break, give me some coffee, and let my voice rest a little bit. And we'll be back. But if you'd like to call into the show and talk about our topic, NBA Trade Deadline Episode 2, where the host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regardless of what they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics to include but not limited to the NBA Trade Deadline and predictions, LeBron James is the new scoring king, scores and results from NBA, NHL, NCAA, and breaking news from NFL and Major League Baseball. And I think I've covered every topic in there, but if you'd like to call in and talk about our topic or call in and talk about the sport that you love the most, definitely call in the area code 515-602-9687. And we'll be back. Stand by. So I am your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer radio show. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Stokers and Beer do talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show, so we talk a lot about NFL. But we also cover other sports, anything that's considered a sport coming across the monitor. That includes pie-eating contests, hot dog-eating contests, camel racing, handball, whatever the case may be. If you'd like to call in to the show, call in to 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687. Today's episode is NBA Trade Deadline Episode 2. We're just talking about NBA trade predictions and results and how it's going to affect your favorite NBA team. So anyway, I said I was going to take the last 30 minutes or so of the show to break down my Prove It system, and this is going out to all you NFL camp hopefuls for 2023 and NFL
camp hopefuls that are now street free agents for 2022. And you're still looking for an opportunity to play professional football at the most immediate level that you qualify to play at. So anyway, the way my proving system works is I would ask an athlete to send me his highlights. And your highlights need to be on a YouTube link or a Huddle link. I really prefer you use a YouTube link because your Huddle link sometimes gets your data gets deleted out of the college system because they need to make room for other guys coming in for their film. So I'll take a Huddle link, but I would prefer it in a YouTube link. Anyway, along with your highlights that I'll request a two-paragraph bio talking about your journey through football coming out of high school. Why did you go to a high-level D1 school and ended up where you ended up in college or junior college, going to college, then moving on from your college experience, moving on to whatever pro opportunity that you got after college, if you even got a pro opportunity. I would like to know, why didn't the NFL talk to you? Why were your college stats and awards not good enough to garner any NFL attention or CFL attention? So we'll basically talking about your journey from high school to college, college to pro, and where you are currently right now as a street free agent or a street free agent right now, and then or else as a college guy that's NFL camp hopeful looking for a camp opportunity. So that'll kind of like be what the bio is about, your journey from high school to college, college to pro, from and where you are currently. So now we'll also ask for two photographs. That'll be a headshot in jersey or polo or suit coat. We want the scouts to see your face. And we'll also ask for one game action photo where basically per your position, if you're playing quarterback, we want to see you throw the ball. If you're a running back, we want to see you running the ball. If you're a defensive tackle, we want to see you sacking the quarterback or whatever case may be. So it'll be two photos, one headshot in jersey and one game action photo. The next thing that we'll be asking for is basically to and what you'll do is it'll be pretty. Your package will look. I call it your package. What it'll look like is when I email everything out. In the subject line of your email for your package, it'll have your name, your position, what school you went to, and what and any pro experience. Like if you played in the IFL, NAL, or whatever the case may be, you can add that as well in the subject line. Again, the subject line will be your name, your position, and your school that you played for, and what level of pro experience that you might have, whether it's overseas, GFL-1, GFL-2, IFL, NAL, fan control football, whatever the case may be. So then you'll drop down in that. You'll add your measurables, your height, your weight, how many reps you can do on a 225-pound bench press, your 40-yard dash time, any awards that you got in college. Drop down. Below that, that's where you'll do your two-paragraph bio. The two-paragraph bio will talk about your experience coming out of high school. Why didn't you go D1? Going into junior college or going into college. If you went to junior college, you'll talk about your journey from junior college going into whatever college picked you up to finish out your education and your college career. Moving from that, we'll talk about why did you not get scouted by the NFL or the CFL. And then so that'll be your two-paragraph bio. Up under that, you'll have your highlight. I prefer a YouTube link because you can always keep your YouTube link. But if you have Huddle, we'll use that. But just make sure you convert your video highlights into a YouTube link. A lot of times at the NFL level, NFL, CFL, XFL, USFL, they require you to have two full game films. You don't have to have that for me right now, but I would suggest that you have it. Two full games, two of your best games, the full game on a YouTube or a Huddle link as well. Because a lot of times when you're playing for that bag, I'm talking about bigger money, like $1,100 or more a game, anything over $1,000 a game, they're going to want two game films based on my experience in a lot of cases. So I just tell you to go ahead and get that ready now. Talk to your coaches, your video department about getting you two of your best games on a YouTube link so they can see the whole game. But they like to know what you're doing before the play, during the play, after the play. They want to see that at the higher levels that's offering you over $1,000 a game. Moving from that, you'll attach your photos to that email. One game action photo and one headshot in jersey, meaning a picture where they can see your face wearing a suit, your jersey, polo shirt, whatever. Meaning like your team photo without your helmet on. You'll attach those two photos to the email. I'll take all that and start sending out to different coaches and scouts in my network at the levels of the Champions Indoor Football League, Indoor Football League, and the National Arena League, Fan Control Football League. Those are two leagues that I'll start sending your stuff out to get you an opportunity to start playing. This is for athletes that have not played football at all, meaning guys that just played their last college game this past season and guys from last year that didn't get an opportunity to go into NFL camp and are still looking for an opportunity to game film, prove themselves, and move up. I'm not currently taking any street free agent athletes that are playing in the NAL, IFL, CIFL, Fan Control Football. If you already played in those leagues, then my service is not for you. Just keep doing what you've been doing. You already know how to get on the team or whatever. Just keep doing what you've been doing and good luck. But my system is for guys that have not gotten a pro opportunity. I want to have guys that I can give their first experience to, their first experience and opportunity to play professional football at the most immediate level that they qualify to play at. That's the client that I'm looking for. So, again, I'm looking for guys that have never played professional football post-college, and they're looking for their first opportunity. But you have to be I'm not taking anybody that's past 2 years removed from college. I'm taking current athletes that just played their last college game, and I'm taking athletes from last year's season that are still looking for an opportunity. If you're more than a year removed from college, if you're more than a year removed from college, I can't take you. I'm looking for guys that are no more than a year removed from college, meaning last season, the season before this past season. So this past season, meaning this year's NFL 2023 camp hopefuls, and then guys that played their last contest last year that have not gotten a NFL, CFL opportunity or anything below that and still looking to play. Those are the clients that I'm looking for. If you're already playing pro ball at some level overseas, indoor arena over here, I can't take you on. I just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing and you'll find your way. And there's other services out there that could probably help you. But my system is set up for guys that have never had a pro opportunity to get a pro football experience. So anyway, the cost to work with me and my proven system, and proven system just means that you're going to be proven that you are a professional football player, and you'll have film to show that you can play against guys that might have got cut from the NFL, whether they've been a 53-man roster or a practice squad, guys that got NFL workouts, guys that played same thing for the CFL, had CFL workouts or got cut from a CFL practice squad or 53-man roster, or you're going to be playing against guys that played high-level D1 that are still looking for an opportunity. That's like D1 FBS guys and D1 FCS guys that will still be looking for opportunities. You'll be playing against them. You want to show that you can play at those level of athletes against guys that came from the NFL, NFL or CFL system, and guys that played high-level D1, FBS, and FCS. So that's what you want to prove on film, that you can compete against those guys. Because in most cases, if you show that you can compete against those guys, you'll work your way up to the XFL and the USFL level. So that's the goal, to get you up to the XFL, USFL level. And that way, if you get to that level in the summertime, take your spring film to get you a summer opportunity for the USFL, XFL before they end their season. And hopefully, if you get a look at that level and maybe wind up being on TV in a game, you can get an opportunity in the NFL, getting a facility invite workout or some kind of three-day workout somewhere, leading you into a mini camp, two-week workout that'll help you get on a camp roster. So that's the plan. That's my proven system, and that's how it works. To get into my proven system, my cost for services is $1,200 down, with the $1,200 broken down into $100 a month over a period of a year. So the total cost for my service is $2,400. That's $2,400 is the total cost of my service. You can pay that all up front if you like, which is what I suggest most people do. Just pay, get it out of the way. Just pay your $2,400 up front, or you can do the installment plan. $1,200 down, which is fine, but you have to make sure that you do the other $1,200 broken down, $100 a month over a period of 1 year. So use $1,200 down for the installment plan and $100 a month for 12 months to complete the other $1,200 payment, totaling $2,400. Now, if you get 6 months behind on your payments, then I'm going to make you start all the way back over from the top. You'll have to come in with a fresh $2,400, do all at one time if I bring you back into the system. It's not going to be coming back in on the installment plan. You have to come back in with the whole $2,400. If you get behind 6 months on your payment, you'll get a 90-day warning. If you don't pay in 3 months, you'll get the 90-day warning. If you don't catch up in 6 months, if you don't catch up by the six-month mark, you have to start all the way back over. But I will give you a warning at 90 days that if you continue to go another 90 days in the hole on your $100 payments, you'll have to start back over from scratch, and you will have to come back in at the $2,400 fee. And the good thing about my system is not only am I finding opportunities for athletes to play in this spring or next spring, however it works out, I'm not just finding you opportunities to get on the field. I'm also helping you use your degree if you want to have a career in sports on the administrative side or even on the coaching side. I'm going to also, as I keep coming up on opportunities, if you're in my network, you're vested with it. If you vested your money into me, the $2,400, if you vested your $2,400 into me, as I move up, I'm going to make sure that you're in the conversations when I'm behind the scenes. Somebody needs a coach. If you're done playing, I can refer to you. Somebody needs a marketing personnel for a team, I can refer to you based on your degree. I'll help you use your degree to still open up doors for you after your college career is over. So it's kind of like working with me. You're joining my network for your playing career and your post-playing career. That's the good thing about me. I don't forget my clients that have vested in me. As I move up, you move up. I'm one of the rare people that has made my way to the NFL front office to talk to Roger Goodell's staff, meaning the NFL PA office, Troy Benson, Kevin Booth, and Roman Oban. I had two meetings with the NFL PA front office. So you're talking with the right person. My education spans from global fundamentals of global sports management, from Yellow Brick Learn Online and New York University. And also I took the Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment Sports Business Certification course as well. If anybody knows Lee Steinberg and Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, they know that they that's the agency for Patrick Mahomes, that's the agent for Tua Tagovailoa, and that's the agent for Jerry Jeudy with the Denver Broncos. Yes, that's where my experience come from. So you're talking to the right person. I had to invest a lot of money into my certifications. So don't get offended when I say, hey, the price to work with me is $2,400, because I'm breaking it down into two payments, $1,200 down $1,200 broken down over a period of a year, $100 a month. And at the same time, you have the opportunity to make back your investment depending on what level you play at. You can make your investment back in a season, half a season, or a game, depending on what level I can get you to. And not just what level I can get you to, what level that you can get to based on your talent, your bio, meaning your resume, and your highlight film. I mean, everything has to jump. Everything has to jump, jump off the page. Your highlights got to pop. Your story got to pop. Everything, and when you get on the field, your talent got to pop. Everything has to line up. Your resume, your film, and not just your highlights, your full game film too. I remember I told you, I recommend you get two full games. Your highlight film on a YouTube link, your two full game films on a YouTube link, and your talent when you get on the field. Everything has to match up. Like I tell guys, I can't get you to the NFL. Your talent, all the things I just mentioned, has to get you to the NFL. There's no such thing as an agent, a manager, which I'm a manager, not an NFLP. I'm not an NFLPA certified agent. I am a sports career manager, but I am recognized as an agent in every league besides the CFL and the NFL because I don't want to join their unions and them telling me how much money I can make off of an athlete. Whatever I make is dependent upon. Once we get to a big contract like the NFL or the CFL, me and my client athlete will determine what my salary will be for that athlete to continue working with me. We'll come to that conclusion. Not the NFL, not the CFL. We'll come to that conclusion because we're in business. So anyway, with that being said, I want to encourage everybody to pray for the people over in Europe that just had this big earthquake. This morning, I heard that a mother had given birth under the rubble, and her and her baby was still attached by the umbilical cord. But thank God that they found them and brought them out. I mean, this child was born in a hellish situation under rubble. But thank God that that they were rescued, and we're praying for other people to be rescued. Be rescued as soon as possible. That's what we're praying for. So keep everybody over in Europe that had this big earthquake over, I believe it was Turkey. Keep the Turkish people in your prayer. Pray for the people that are being affected by the war in Ukraine. Pray that this war ends. They're still sending weapons and tanks and stuff over there to Ukraine to halt this Russian invasion or to slow down this Russian invasion. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Pray for the Russian soldiers that don't even want to be fighting in this war in the first place, and the Russian and the Russian men that don't want to be drafted into this war. So pray for them also. Pray for this whole situation to end with this war, Russia and Ukraine. Let's keep praying that this ends as soon as possible, meaning like today. Make sure you get your flu shots. Make sure you get your COVID-19 booster. Keep your mask on in crowded areas. And at the same time, keep some hand sanitizer on you at all times. We still got all this RSV stuff going around affecting our children. So just keep everybody safe and stay up on your seasonal medications. With that being said, I want to encourage everybody to stay light, to be light, not darkness. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. And remember, there's only one race. That's the human race. And happy Black History Month to all that applies. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and set black, fade all, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Goodbye.